Hello, this is Sharon Steitler, the bird chick, and I am here with non-birding Bill.
Hello.
And it is our goal. That's it.
Do we have any goals anymore?
It started off like we, you know, this podcast originally started with me doing like a 15-minute podcast of rounding up news three times a week.
Right.
Then you started talking in the podcast. Right. Then it became like the non-birding Bill show.
Right.
Then it became the goal of the podcast to just talk about birds and sort out our marriage once a week.
Right.
And then I got on a crazy travel schedule.
Sure.
And I think things are evening out now. Cutting back on bird surveys. Incidentally, if anybody wants to do bird surveys, I can recommend some work.
All right, so what you got for us?
Wow, you just skipped the foreplay and went right into the news. Normally we have
Is there...
Man, boom, you just went right for it.
Well...
You didn't even, like, work it up with, like, some wacky story.
I don't have any wacky stories about bird watching.
You almost always have some kind of weird thing that I've done or something that is going on in our marriage.
No, just summer is over, and I'm grateful for that because summer is always super hectic and it's...
Summer is not over yet. We still have the state fair to survive.
Well,
meanwhile, our friends are trying to survive the Minnesota Renaissance.
Well, that's their own dumb fault.
We've just been trying to survive like science fiction conventions and my bird survey schedule.
So, but it's been a while since we podcasted, so I thought we should probably leap into the stories.
Okay, well, one thing I want to talk about. I don't think it's any secret that I work as a park ranger for the National Park Service.
It doesn't even qualify as a terribly kept secret.
It's no, and it's not that I'm trying to keep it secret. One thing that I am acutely aware of as a federal employee is that I need to keep bird chick stuff separate from National Park stuff.
Absolutely.
The media is terrible at this.
Yeah.
Because someone, like, we recently had a very nice woman come along with us on my heron canoe paddles.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, if you are in the Twin Cities area next summer, when we offer these heron canoe paddles with Wilderness Inquiry, you've got to come on these. They're so much fun. But we take a Voyager canoe that holds like 12 people, and we go out to a heron rookery, and we walk around.
Star Trek Voyager.
And we just see what's there. There's always herons there. Mm-hmm. There's always peregrines there. And there's all kinds of cool stuff. But, you know, so anyway, this is an example. So this reporter comes along. They Google me before they go out. And it's like, oh, let's talk about bird chicks. I'm like, well, you know, we officially can't talk about bird chicks stuff. I'm here as Ranger Sharon. Mm-hmm. Of course, at the beginning of the paddle, Wilderness Inquiry, who's our partner in this, right. Like, this is Ranger Bird Chick, and she's famous. I'm just like, yeah. So anyway, but I do want to talk about something that the Park Service is doing that's really cool.
Okay.
And I'm fascinated by this because I work for the Park Service. I hear it all the time, but I was I'm on another podcast for Outdoor News pretty regularly. And I was talking about this, and the host, Rob, of the Outdoor News podcast has a fourth grader and had no idea this was going on. And what surprised me was Rob's podcast is Outdoor News. You know, it's hunting, fishing, birding.
You should probably explain what you're talking about.
I know, but I just want to say that this... I'm so shocked that this guy doesn't know what it is, and it's an outdoor
turning
podcast.
Turning into a scandal podcast from the 1980s. A certain Miss S was seen at a certain program, which we can't mention on the air.
So the National Park Service is going to turn 100 next year. We're about to have our 99th birthday.
Okay.
As part of this initiative, there is this thing called Every Kid in a Park. Perhaps you've seen the hashtag. If you have a fourth grader that is going into school this fall, I'm sorry, fifth grade parents right now, those kids qualify for a free annual pass to any national park.
Is there a particular reason why they chose fourth graders?
It has something to do with like the education level and where they're at with learning and things like that. There's all about like a parent willingness to travel.
Sure.
Boy, I really hope no one from WASO is listening to this because it's basically... But anyway, they had to pick a grade.
Sure.
And based on what kids are studying typically in fourth grade and parents being willing to take kids on the road. So this is an $80 pass.
Oh.
So if I wanted to buy this pass, even as a federal employee...
So you take your kid and drop him off at the park and then you come back.
They run amok. Yeah, it's great. Okay, yeah. Tell them
ride
to
bears.
Keep bears.
Yeah.
No, don't get selfies with bison and don't ride bears. But no, it's a really good deal. So if you're someone who's thinking, oh, maybe next summer we'll take a trip, or maybe for spring break we'll go check out the Grand Canyon, these parks are not cheap to visit.
No.
And I mean, even as a federal employee, I have to pay to get into these parks. But now my park is weird. It's free to get into my park.
Right.
But it's a weird park. But this is a really cool thing. So
I like to think of the image of you chasing people out of the Mississippi River.
No, see, so there are different kinds of national parks. So you have, like, your traditional park, like your Yosemite National Park, your Grand Canyon National Park. Then you have things like historic sites, you know, a lot of the stuff in New York. And then you have my park, which is a recreation area.
Right.
We don't enforce anything. Okay, yeah, we ask you to keep your dogs on leashes in parks that we own. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, my job is to make sure you know how to have fun in this park.
Yeah.
That you know what things are and why things are cool.
So you're kind of like Steve Guttenberg at the beginning of Police Academy 2, where you're just riding your three-wheeler in your jam shorts and, you know, you've cut your
your
police uniform so it looks like a vest.
My park, the Mississippi National River and Recreation Area, it is the Steve Guttenberg of the National Park Service.
And basically you're chasing guys who are driving their SUVs in a hazardous manner. And
no, we don't even do that. We don't even do that. Oh, okay. You know, I don't enforce anything. Right. I just go out and it's like, hey, do you know how to canoe? Let me show you how to canoe.
Do you have a park ranger who can make wacky noises into a microphone?
Some would argue that that's me when I try to describe a bird call.
All right. All right.
So anyway,
so if you have, and we made a joke earlier, we should probably clarify this because, as I've learned, bird watchers have no sense of humor. This is a pass for the whole family.
Yeah. So
you are not actually dropping a fourth grader off.
Okay, I'm going to spill some federal government, what it's like to be a federal employee. Okay, first of all, I was watching an Obama press conference.
Sure.
I don't normally watch these things, but I was watching it because he was doing it at a national park, and I knew someone I used to work with was going to be in the background.
Okay.
So I'm, like, streaming this, and I'm trying to take screenshots of my friend in the back so I can, like, post it on his Facebook page. Like, hey, I saw you behind Obama today, you know? And then all of a sudden, as I'm taking these screenshots, I hear Obama start to talk about the centennial. It's like the Every Kid in a Park initiative, and we're going to give every fourth grader a free pass. And I'm thinking, okay, you're telling me what my job is going to be soon. It's so weird, because ultimately with the National Park Service, technically, the president is our ultimate boss. I mean, we have the Secretary of the Interior, but ultimately the president is our boss. But it is the weirdest thing to be watching a press conference and having the president...
Even if you're in a park in Texas, the president is in charge of you?
The president is my ultimate boss.
Jade Helm thing is out of control.
Well, I wasn't working for the government when I was accused of being part of Jade Helm in Texas. That was part of a survey.
Sure.
And now I've violated my non-disclosure agreement. Thank you very much, Mr. Steitler.
You're welcome.
But no, so he started talking about this, and it's also one of those things where, gosh, you know, I'm kind of on the social media committee for my park. I probably should have heard about this like a couple of days before this. I think Obama just decided to go with it, you know.
He made it up as he went along.
He wasn't making it up. He was like, oh, I need something to talk about at this national park thing that I'm doing. Well, let's talk about every kid. Oh, I don't care if you don't have all the I's dotted and T's crossed.
Every kid gets a bear.
Every kid. So seriously, if you have a fourth grader that is starting this fall, and this even works for homeschoolers, I don't know how, but from what I'm hearing up in the higher-ups in the DOI, is that you have to go online, and I'm going to link to the website that I know of that has the information.
Okay.
And you can apply for the certificate, you get the certificate, and then you take it, you print it out, and you take it to a national park, and any park that it issues passes will give you this free fourth grader national park.
All right.
And as I understand it, you're going to have to go through some hoops on the website to prove that you are a fourth grader. And again, I'm apologizing to everyone who has a fifth grader this year.
You have to have your fourth grade driver's license?
I don't know how they're doing it. All I know is that there is some sort of vetting process, and I know that homeschoolers are going to be allotted. But national parks are a really great place to go bird watching. I was just at the Grand Canyon.
So what if
your
kid is old enough to be in fifth grade, but he was so dumb that he was left back to fourth grade? Do you still qualify?
If you are in fourth grade this fall, to the best of my knowledge, you qualify.
Okay, so what if it's sort of a Billy Madison situation where you're going through every grade of school all at once?
I have a feeling that this is the sort of thing... I was going to compare it, but I'm not going to.
All right, let's move
on. But let me just say that when I'm issuing passes at my park, unless it's a senior pass, I'm not going to question a lot of stuff. With a senior pass, I legally am obligated to look at your driver's license to make sure that you are 62. Right. And honestly, if you don't know this stuff about national parks, so if you're like my age, you can buy an annual pass for $80, which if you're going to visit several national parks, like if you're hitting a bunch out in South Dakota or on the East Coast, that makes total sense.
Right.
It's $80 for a year. And so if you bought it now, it's good until the end of the month the following year. So what is this, August? If I bought one now, it would be good until the end of August next year. $80, bada bing, bada boom.
Okay.
If you are 62 years or older, you can buy a $10 pass, and it's good for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and these passes get you and four other people in your vehicle into the national park. So, I mean, these are really good deals either way.
Cool.
Now, you cannot be a bird tour leader and have a senior pass and hire a 55-passenger bus and take 50 of your closest friends with you into the national park. Then you're going to need multiple passes.
Sure.
But, so there's that. So, yeah, I mean, the fourth graders getting a free pass, and I'm assuming it's going to work like these other passes where it's you and three or four other people in your vehicle.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah, it's just going to be parents dropping off their kids in National. So, anyway.
Which is a terrible idea, by the way.
Don't let your kids run amok in National Park. We don't want to babysit your kids. We want to help you and your kids have a great time.
Yeah.
We want to swear them in as junior rangers.
All right.
So anyway, so check out, and I have a link to...
No Child Left Behind in the Woods.
No, it's Find Your Park and Every Kid in a Park. Okay. Find Your Park is the hashtag I use a lot, but Find Your Park is all part of the whole National Park Service's turning 100 years. Can you find your park? And it works well for my park, because no one can ever find my park.
Right.
Incidentally, for people who are not in the Twin Cities, and you happen to be visiting the Twin Cities, if you ever find yourself in downtown St. Paul, and you look at the Science Museum... You should go to the Science Museum. And even if you don't want to go in the Science Museum, you should walk in the front door of the Science Museum, and you should take an immediate right to where it's practically a U-turn. And if I am not out doing ranger programs, I'm usually in that visitor center.
My advice
writing is articles.
If you find yourself in St. Paul, get out of St. Paul as quickly as possible.
It's not that
go
bad.
Go someplace fun.
It's not that bad. There are fun places in St. Paul. Cosetta's is very fun.
Cosetta's is a restaurant.
Yeah, I know. And they serve booze. Sakura is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's where all the famous people go to eat sushi when they come to the Twin Cities. You go to Sakura. They have Bill Murray's picture on the wall.
Lovely.
You and I have eaten at Sakura with someone who may or may not be famous.
All right. Let's move on to
the next
story.
I like how you just like, boom, move on. Anyway, get your kid a Find Your Park pass. Oh, we should talk about this story. So you remember the story we talked about? With the girl who was feeding crows.
Yes. And the crows would bring her presents, yes.
Yes, yes. Well, apparently the neighbors are not so thrilled with this situation.
I find it's always other people who ruin everything.
Well, I mean, part of me can kind of understand this. Okay. Sure. So this girl has large flocks of crows coming to her yard, and she's feeding them. And when the feeder is empty, the crows sometimes drop things in the feeder. You can call this gifts. You can just say, hey, the crows have figured out if I drop things in this empty feeder, food magically appears. So I'm just going to drop like bones and beads and bits of jewelry,
buttons
and all. And you know, it's a good time. Neighbors aren't so thrilled. One of the neighbors said that they are owed more than $200,000 for damage caused by the girl's feathered friends. The birds...
What a bunch of assholes.
Leavings have damaged their homes and properties.
What a bunch of assholes.
And the feeding draws rats.
What a bunch of No, wait, that doesn't make any sense.
I always have a tough time when someone says, oh, your bird feeding is attracting rodents, because it's like... You know, we've had periods where we have not fed birds, and we still had mice. As a matter of fact, the worst infestation we ever had at our last place with the rat, that was well after we stopped feeding birds.
Well, that had nothing to do with that. That had to do with construction that was going on in
the
building.
But that's my point. Yeah. If you live in a city, you're going to have rats and mice, and they're going to show up.
The idea that you are owed $200,000 by your neighbors because of bird feed is patent nonsense. These people are assholes. And especially when you consider that, you know, this is a story that was reported and people were filled with joy. Oh, this is amazing. This girl is getting gifts from the birds. This is magic in the real world. And somebody walks up and says, I'm owed $200,000 because of bird poop. Well, fuck you. To put it not too far.
Well.
Fuck you.
Tell me how you really feel about it. I have mixed feelings.
This is a miraculous story of a boy who learned how to run, and now he's, you know, fulfilling his dreams.
Crows are really noisy.
He wakes me up early in the morning, and I'm owed $200,000. Fuck you.
Our cockatiel freaks out at Blue Jays.
Sure.
Blue Jays on TV.
Yep.
Blue Jays on one of my CDs. Blue Jays on an app. Blue Jays outside. I used to love Blue Jays. Right now, I wish Blue Jays would go mute or go away.
Sure.
And it's because... And it's not just that our cockatiel is screaming. Mm. Our cockatiel screams in alarm. I don't know what happened to him before we had him.
Well, it's an alarm call.
But Kabuki is Australian.
He's just trying to alert us.
I know. And we have tried everything. We've tried the things like, well, you just talk calmly around your bird while he's freaking out. That, it does nothing. He's just, we just have to ride out the freak out. So, if let's just say someone in our apartment complex suddenly decided Blue Jays are their jam. And they are going to feed the heck out of Blue Jays and bring them in every day. And they happen to think that our ear-splitting sounds coming from our cockatiel is beautiful. And so, would we tell this 12-year-old kid,
Would ask them to stop.
Well, apparently that's what these people did, too. They were like, hey, can you maybe just cut back on the crow feeding? Can you maybe stop? And things have taken a turn for the worse. I'm conflicted. On the one hand...
Well, I mean, that's a neighbor dispute, but the idea that someone would be owed $200,000 because our cockatiel is screaming when Blue Jays come by is nonsense. Nonsense.
Okay. On the one hand, having a lot of crows would be annoying, but on the other hand, you can always move. We didn't like Pizza Luce in our... We loved eating at Pizza Luce. Right. We didn't like the drunks at 2... We didn't like all the people that were like crows at 2 in the morning going, woo! So we moved. And now we order takeout from Pizza Luce, and it's all good. So anyway, you can read about that in Seattle. So not all is always groovy in Seattle.
All right.
So do you remember last year when we talked about the rediscovered night parrot in Australia?
Oh yeah, we've talked about this since then.
Yeah.
Privately, I don't think we've podcasted about it, but I know what you're talking
spoilers
about.
Spoilers for the listeners. They're supposed to be getting this fresh.
Wait, that we have private conversations and we don't just like communicate with each other whenever we're podcasting? That's a spoiler.
This is the only time we communicate in our marriage is this podcast. That's why the marriage works.
That's why we don't see each other. That's why we don't podcast anymore. Oh. Frowny face.
Don't make people think we're having marital problems.
All right. So
your mom is already hard enough to deal with on Facebook.
The Night Parrot.
So somebody supposedly...
Which was a terrible detective show from the 50s, by the way.
Who starred in that?
I believe it was Jack Webb, and his partner, who was the talking parrot, was Tina Louise.
I'd watch that.
It was.
I would listen to that on the radio show.
It didn't do very well.
So, was this back when Jack Webb was still into the metaphors, like a pointer with a broken tail?
Yeah, it was back when his hard-boiled, yeah.
What was the one he had about the wiener?
I don't remember.
Remember something like, oh.
A wiener? I don't remember.
Yeah, I just remember... Looked like a pointer with a
back before
tail.
Jack Webb did Dragnet, he did a detective show called Pat Novak for Hire where they had the most tortured analogies in the world.
What was one about aspirin?
Oh, it's something about like it gets worse no matter how good, no matter what you try to do, like buying aspirin for a two-headed boy.
What does
which
that
is just
mean?
A strange metaphor. It was just this deliciously weird show.
It's not that hard to buy aspirin. There's a lot of it. Why would it be a problem?
Two-headed boy with a headache or something like that. It was like something that, like, imagery that no one would ever come up with.
Jack Webb.
So, back to the actual night parrot.
Okay, so some guy said that he found the night parrot, but he wasn't going to tell us about it. And he had a photo, and then the photo came out, and then the photo disappeared, because he was like, I don't want this all over the place.
You're telling this in a very confusing way, I have to tell you right now.
What's confusing about it?
Well, just the way, like, he told us about it, then he wasn't going to tell us about it, and then a picture came. It's like, what happened is, there's a bird called a night parrot.
Tell me more.
Which is endangered.
Yes.
Okay.
And well, no, actually, it was kind of thought to be extinct.
It was thought to be extinct, and a guy claimed to have seen one. This was basically, what'd you call it? The Australian
ivory-billed
woodpecker. And the story went away for a while. There were rumors that there was a photo, and then it was just sort of never confirmed. But now...
Well, see, the crazy thing with the photo was it showed up briefly.
Uh-huh.
I found it. But the entire photo was covered in, like, in watermarks. And it wasn't just one big watermark.
Sure.
It was, like, several lines of the copyright symbol and the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found a website that had it. And then the website only loaded it halfway. So you could halfway see this night parrot.
Sure.
But there were all these watermarks in front
of
it.
So it sounds like a scam.
It totally sounds like a scam. The only thing that was keeping people that, okay, this guy probably hasn't, this probably isn't just a hoax and that he's just Photoshopped something, was that ever since the bird was thought to be extinct, periodically people have found them in the form of dead night parrots on the side of the road from being hit by vehicles. So, well now, not only do we have people who have seen it and have its DNA, we have pictures of them holding it. And we have videos of the night parrot, and we have photos that aren't completely covered in watermarks.
Okay.
So it's pretty exciting. I mean, this is everything that we had hoped the Ivory Billed Woodpecker would be. Sure. But I mean, this also kind of, I might.
So basically, the guy took a news team out, and they did, like, it was a reporter, right? It wasn't just some guy with a video camera.
Originally, there was some, I don't think it was a biologist or an ornithologist. I don't know for sure. But a man thought, okay, there have been some dead night parrots here. I'm going to go out in this portion of Wales and look for them, and found them. And the other thing that made it kind of nerve-wracking, and I think this is also the reason why he was trying to keep things hush-hush, was when he found the night parrot and got the photo, someone had just purchased all this property for cattle grazing the week before. So they're freaked out. It's like, what do you mean I have this extinct bird on my property and I'm not going to be able to use it to do? So there's all these negotiations in place. And they're keeping the location top secret because it's a parrot.
Yep.
There's a market for parrots. This bird was thought to be extinct and who knows how many are left. And so poaching is a cause for concern.
So, and also, you know, destruction of the property by having, you know, thousands of bird watchers go out to see this bird.
I would like to bird Australia. I would love to bird New Zealand. Hey, anybody in those countries ever need a keynote speaker? I can send you references. I'm really good.
Yeah.
But I mean, even if I had the opportunity to go out there, I would not have it on my agenda to see the night parrot. I've seen pictures of it. Sure, I would love to see one if I could see one in a safe and safe, respectable manner for the bird. But I just like knowing it's out there. Seeing the photos and videos are good enough for me. I don't need to... That's not to say, if someone listening to this podcast was wants to fly me out there and show it to me, and I'll take pictures and not reveal the location, that would be awesome. But I think it's cool. And it's bittersweet for me, too, because with the ivory bill situation here, this is so what we wanted with the ivory bill.
Right.
And we just don't have the photos and videos. And this also is kind of like... It's like, yeah, we should have had that by now if we really had an ivory bill that was down in Arkansas. Mm. So it's a cool story. Congratulations, Australia. I'm glad you didn't make something else extinct.
All right. Wow.
Hey, that's a compliment in this day and age. Hey, you name a country that hasn't.
Thanks for controlling your bloodlust. All right. Next story.
Russians see Putin's face in a flock of birds in New York.
Is there anything more to this story, or...?
I don't know. It's kind of like watching the first season of True Detective. Yeah, you know, when the birds start flying around and forming flat circles and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But
spiral, yeah.
Spiral, whatever. Time is a flat circle, man. Mm. And a spiral. But, anyway, you can watch the video. You're looking at the video. It's like, oh, it's a murmuration of starlings. And then momentarily a face shows up. And you're like, oh, that's cool. They just happen to make a face. But Russians have latched onto it and said, no, that's Putin. So why not?
Where is this story coming from?
UPI?
Yeah.
Do
they even exist anymore? I thought the UPI went away and it was just the AP.
It says UPI.com. Like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll post a video. If you want to tell me it's Photoshop, that's fine.
I think it's just... No, I just think it's a made-up story that Russians are insisting that this is Putin's. It sounds like a tabloid thing where it's like...
Well, here, you look.
You don't need to show me the...
That looks like Putin, kinda.
No, that looks like a terrible Photoshop. That's a fake.
That's just a still from the video. Watch the actual video.
You can fake video. Well, let's get back. Do you really think that they trained the starlings in True Detective to fly in a...
That was totally Photoshop. Well, they had the flap all wrong in True Detective. It's like, I see that you're trying to make blackbirds, but the flapping is all wrong, and... And if you've ever watched a murmuration and you've watched them form shapes, you know, and stuff, they don't last that long. And they lasted just a little too long in True Detective. Just a little. But I appreciated what they tried to do.
This did not happen. It is not a story. What's our next bit of...
Well, I'm going to link to it. And you know what? People, you can decide whether or not it's a story.
All right. It's not. Spoiler alert. It's not a story.
It's totally a story.
It's not really a story, in that it didn't really happen. All right, what's our next item?
You know what? I don't really have anything else.
Oh, it's going to be a short episode.
Well, okay. Well, we can talk about other stuff.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's fine.
We can just hang out.
Just leave the microphone running while we just walk around our apartment and go back to watching 30 Rock.
There is probably...
That's sad.
We're watching.
Well, no, let's talk about your butterfly ranching.
I'm raising monarchs. Yeah.
Yeah. because we've destroyed their habitat, and we don't have a lot of monarchs left.
Oh, well, we don't know exactly what's going on with the monarch. I mean, they've been the population has been declining in their wintering grounds, and I mean it's gone nutty. Like in the last 10 years, it's gone from 10 acres to 5 acres to 2 acres to 1 acre. There's a variety of factors. It's not necessarily us not growing milkweed. I mean, there's some evidence, and it's not true enough for me to be able to say this is what it is, but there's some question that maybe neonic pesticides are the problem, which I'm not sure I buy, because the things that neonics are in aren't necessarily things monarchs are going to be nectaring on. So anyway, if you see monarchs, you should raise them. But we've always ranched monarchs. I didn't think that was a secret. Oh, you know what we can talk about?
What?
Tours.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about tours.
Hey, do you want to go on a birding tour with me?
No, but I'm sure other people do.
You've gone with me to Texas. Didn't you have a good time in Texas?
I did.
What did you enjoy about Texas?
I enjoyed going to the combination pharmacy and drugstore, which is now just a pharmacy and gun store, sorry, which was Nichols Guns and Drugs, which is now just a gun store. I enjoyed the barbecue very much.
Do you remember meeting Greg Miller?
Yes, he was the guy that was unexpectedly at the...
Estero Llano Grande.
Yeah, the bird sanctuary. And some I like the chakalakas. They were cool.
The chakalakas, yes.
The distrustful turkeys.
They're actually quite trustful. They're way more distrustful in Central America than they are in Texas.
They had a very suspicious look about them.
They have a suspicious look, but here you actually see them. If you try to see that chachalaca in Mexico, not going to happen. That is a much more
rare bird down there. That was the nice part.
So anyway,
but the barbecue was probably top, so it was a very good barbecue.
All right, so everything except the whole gun drugstore thing, because that's in Corpus Christi and not where we're going to go.
It's not even there anymore. I mean, it's just a gun store now.
It's just a gun store, not guns and drugs. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, if you would like to experience the Rio Grande Valley, I've been there several times. I'm going to be going with Greg Miller, who is played by Jack Black in the Big Year movie.
And vice versa.
What? Greg Miller's... Well, Greg Miller was a consultant on the movie. So we are going to be going to the Rio Grande Valley right after the Rio Grande Valley Bird Festival. So if you are planning on going to the Rio Grande Valley Bird Festival, you could just tag this trip on for like another 5 or 6 days and hang out with Greg and I. And you can travel with us. You can learn all my secrets of digiscoping with your phone or with your camera. And we will see things like buff-bellied hummingbird, northern... Oh, God, I don't want to say northern beardless tyrannolet. No one wants to see
you
that.
You just said that.
I know. It's an overrated bird.
Ooh, damn. Dropping them truth bombs. Take that.
So, you know, ignore that. But what you want to
drop
go
it
for...
a diss track.
I am. You want to... Okay, so let me see what we're going to see. Least grebe, that's worth it.
Okay.
Neotropical cormorant. Yeah, it's a cormorant. White-tailed kite, totally cool. Harris's hawk. Okay, it is the only bird that hunts in flocks.
I thought it was Harris hawk.
Harris's, according to this. That's the style guidelines are going here with here.
Sure.
Caracaris, plain chachalacas, which are non-birding Bill's favorite bird, green kingfishers, buff-bellied hummingbird, golden-fronted woodpeckers, and loads of green jays. We could also see tropical perula.
Okay.
Clay-colored thrush, which is like a badass robin. They don't look badass. They look very plain, but they're much more bullying than our American robins are. But you look
so
at
you have that to look forward to.
It's like, oh, you're like a robin, only much more muted, and you have kind of an attitude. We could... Oh, God, we're going to do the white-collared seed eater. We're going to do that, and it's going to be awesome. It's not a death march, I swear. Altamira and Audubon's orioles. And who knows what'll sneak across the border. I mean, every time I go to Texas, it's something different. Sometimes we get crimson-colored grosbeak and blue bunting and green violet ear. But we will go down. We will eat lots of Mexican food and barbecue. And if Greg and I know anything, it's not just about birds. We also know the food. So we have a few spaces left on that. And I'm looking at the itinerary in depth because I'm finally noticing what I'm actually doing. Laguna Atascosa is cool. We're going to do sable palm. That's awesome. We're going to have bug spray for that. Estero Llano Grande is fantastic. That's where some of my best digiscoped images have come from, so the birds are super close. We're going to do Zapata and Sal Nino and Chapeño and Falcon Dam State Park, which is full of fun stories that I will tell you only if you come with us on this trip. So yeah.
After dark.
Other stories that aren't for public consumption. And then also, you know, since I have a captive audience here and we have nothing else to
which
talk
is me.
About. Wait, what? You're the captive audience? What?
I'm the only one who can't turn off the podcast and go do something else.
All right. Hey, I should, you know what I should try to do? Hmm. I should try to talk you into going with me on this trip. So right. Next March, Bill,
yeah.
I want you to come with me on this trip.
To Texas?
No, it's in Central America.
Oh, all right.
How do you feel about Honduras?
I have no feelings about Honduras one way or the other.
Well, we could go stay at this really cool lodge at Pico Benito. What?
Sounds like a strip mall, like a chain, like a little wacky novelty store that opens in a strip mall.
Pico Benito. We can go there and we can drink all day long.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
There's going to be alcohol. There's going to be alcohol at the Rio Grande Valley. Trust me on this.
I know. I've been there.
Yes. We will find the alcohol. We will go birding and we will drink. Nice. So anyway, so we're going to go to Pico Benito. And my main... I have two main goals. I've heard a lot of people tell me about how awesome Pico Benito is. And I love going to Central America.
I think you're just making this name up at this point.
No, look. Here's the brochure. It actually says Pico Benito. Mm-hmm, you know, sure. If you go to Bird Fair this week, Pico Benito has a lodge.
I am not going to go to Bird Fair this week. I can practically guarantee you that that will not happen.
If you're going to Bird Fair this week, there are a couple of different birds and beers going on. You should go to them, even though I'm not going to be there. But anyway, we're going to go for the resplendent Quetzal, which I only saw the shadow of and heard call in Guatemala. So I actually would like to see a resplendent Quetzal, and I would like to stand in front of it with my spotting scope and my camera aimed at it, and I want to curse furiously as I cannot fit the bird's entire tail into my camera viewfinder. So you should come with us for that.
Right.
But some of the other stuff that we could see are jaguars.
I don't know that I want to see a jaguar in the wild.
A jaguar? It's not a jaguar, it's a jaguar.
It's going to try to eat me.
We can see a puma.
A puma?
A puma.
In a crevice?
In a crevice. Wait, they just eat up... What did they eat up?
Gnus.
Gnus, yeah. Pumas. Pumas just eat up gnus. Spider... Crevices. Would you... Do you want to see a spider monkey?
No, that sounds terrible.
It's a spider monkey.
Sounds horrifying.
Yeah. I was trying to do Dougal from Father Ted there. Yeah. So come on, Bill, let's go see the spider monkey.
All right.
So we're going to see Quetzals. We're going to...
I will absolutely go on this trip if it costs me nothing to do. So.
Okay, but let me tell you, would you like to see a cacao woodpecker? Or the cocoa woodpecker?
It depends on what I have
going
on that
day. It's a chocolate woodpecker. Come on, man.
Delicious.
Oh, I don't want to get you too excited.
Right.
I think this is what's going to seal the deal. Okay. Do you want to come see a slate-headed toady flycatcher?
You're making that up. That's
no, it's an actual thing we could see.
All right.
Not to mention the slaty-breasted tinamou.
All right.
A black-crowned tetaira.
I will absolutely go on this trip if it costs me nothing.
How about, you know what you want to see?
Hmm.
Bat falcon.
Okay, now you're getting us into copyright. All right, do you have any more tours to pimp?
I'm going to Israel next fall. If you're going to go on any of these tours, you should go on that one. No, you should go on all of these tours. So seriously, if you want to travel with me, have a good time, drink, learn how to digiscope, sleep in from time to time, and maybe take naps, because this is the sort of birding tour where we'll see a lot of cool birds. I am not going to spend 4 hours with you getting a flycatcher. If you want that kind of stuff, you go with Victor Emmanuel. But if you want to go experience a country or a state that I love and have a great time, enjoy the birds, be wowed, learn how to take great pictures of them, have a drink, relax, and share stories, you should come with me to Pico Benito, Rio Grande Valley, or Israel. We're not going to talk about Israel in-depthly because that's not until next fall. But you should come with me to Israel. Israel's awesome. And if you're Googling a map of the Middle East right now and looking at how tiny Israel is, like the first time I went and Bill and I started Googling it, and we're like, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to go there. It's kind of like the Eyrie. Once you go there, it's like, oh, I see why everybody's not invading that.
Yeah.
It's a good time. I have felt more safe in Israel than I have in other countries.
All right. So this was Bird Chick Podcast number 190.
Sorry it wasn't more exciting. Well, now that we're back on a podcasting schedule, we'll make it way more exciting.
Yeah, we'll see about that. If you have any questions for Sharon, you can email her. She is sharon@birdchick.com. You can talk to her on Twitter, where she is @birdchick. And you can find her on Facebook.
As Birdchick and Instagram.
Yes. But you can't really communicate. Well, you can on Instagram.
You can,
anyway.
People ask me questions on Instagram all the time.
All right. That's all we got. We will be back at some point in the future. Y'all take care.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah, we'll see. Bye.